All right, take your Bibles now and turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We look in verses 10 through 14 this morning. The Scripture says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Now, Paul, in the previous verses, has set forth, as God intended, the eminent type of every believer, Abraham. Abraham is an eminent type of every believer in Christ. And Paul proved that the salvation of Abraham was through faith. Just as I read to you earlier in Genesis, it says Abraham believed God. And what was this? And it, righteousness, was accounted to him. It was accounted to him through faith. And his faith, why did Paul use Abraham? He could have used Moses. He could have used a whole bunch of the other patriarchs. Why Abraham? Why is he an eminent type? Because Abraham was before the law. He's proving the point that the law has nothing to do with the salvation of God's people. Obedience to the law is contrary to faith. And so he uses Abraham because Abraham, the covenant of the law, was 430 years later. It was even before circumcision that this was given to Abraham, this promise, this blessing of salvation. So that all who are justified before God are justified. How? How are we justified? We are justified by the faith of Christ. This is vitally important, the faith of Christ. It was His righteousness then that was given to us. Therefore, it is accounted to us as righteousness. His righteousness. And when we believe on Him, we have this righteousness. We are blessed then with faithful Abraham. You're blessed with faith. Now, in verse 10. Paul again turns to those who would profess to be justified by Christ and then finish by the law. Finish this justification by their obedience to the law. And I want to speak to anyone looking to the law. Looking to their obedience to the law. This text is written specifically for them. Listen, we are all in the flesh tempted. We're all tempted by this to try to... We want to see something. Isn't that right? You want to see something. You want to see some kind of evidence. Isn't that what Abraham asked in Genesis 15? He said, "How shall I know that this is going to be so?" He was looking for evidence. Well, he didn't say, "Well, Abraham, you know, you're going to live differently. Here's going to be the evidence. You're going to live differently. You're going to stop sinning and you're going to start doing better. Now that's evident. That's not what he said. The evidence of this is the crucifixion of Christ. The evidence of my righteousness is not my obedience to the law or my goodness. The evidence of my hope is Christ. It's all Christ. Now listen, you who believe, and I know this for a fact, that we do not desire to sin. That's just so. The new nature doesn't. But the old nature, that's all he wants. That's all he wants. Therefore, you cannot do what you want to do. But you take a believer that's doing well. You see a believer and he's a moral man. He's a good man. And you put him against somebody else who believes in a false religion as a moral man. He's a good man. Well, which one's saved? How can you tell? Can you tell the difference between them by their moral character? No. The difference is Christ. That's the difference. It's Christ and Christ and not the law. Listen to you who would be under the law. Listen to it. For as many as, I don't care how many, as many, if it be one or all the earth, as many as are of the works of the law. Listen. They're under the curse. I don't care who you are. You want to be under the law, you're under his curse. That's plain language, isn't it? That's simple. You may misunderstand what he said. And then it gives, he said, well, it's just, not just me saying it. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law. Listen, to do them. Not just lip service. Oh, I love the law. I love it. I want to, you know. You can have all the sincerity and want to obey the law. It doesn't matter if you don't do it. If you're under the law in any means, any measure, you are compelled to do it all. And cursed are you if you don't. Speaking to anyone who desires to be under the law in any measure, to bring them closer to God. You think obeying the law makes you closer to God? If you do, you're under the curse of the law. You're seeking to be accepted by God based on your obedience. You think that it's going to complete what Christ has done. You're under the law. You're fully, completely, wholly under the law. To all who would begin by faith in Christ and finish by the law as their rule of life, you are under the law. You can say I'm not all you want to. But if you undertake to obey the law in any measure for any part of your salvation, you're under it. Listen, the church of Galatia had one law they were trying to obey. Just one. This whole book was written based on one law they were trying to obey. Circumcision. That was it. And this book is intended as a warning for us. Because listen, your flesh desires a law. It just does. You know how to fill these seats? If I just started preaching law, because men love it. They love rules. They love regulations. Why? Because it puffs them up. They get to say, look what I did. See that? Preacher said, don't do that. I didn't. Oh, he did. You see, it only puffs you up. It doesn't help you. He said this, you're under the curse of the law. Anybody want to be under the law? He didn't say you're under the blessing of the law. You're under the curse. Why? Because you didn't do everything contained in the law continually. You're under the law and not under grace. As many as are of the works of the law, for any reason, any measure, you're under the law, and the full weight and responsibility and curse of the law is upon you. If you fail in one point of the law or miss one mark by one sinful thought, one sinful motive, you are cursed. The law, friend, is not a is not a pick and choose. You don't get to pick and choose which laws you think you can obey. It's an all or nothing principle. If you fail in one thing, you are cursed. You're cursed. That's what Paul said. If you be circumcised, Galatians 5 and verse 4, Christ shall profit you what? Nothing. You see how this all and none principle? You're either under the law or you're under grace. This is the point. So then, I have this question. You who are saved by grace, why in the world would you ever want to go back under the law? Why? If that's true, and it is, why would we return to the deeds of the law? Look what he says in the next part. But that in 11, but that a man is justified by the law in the sight, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is what? That's evident. This is basic theology, basic understanding, spiritual understanding. Isn't that the first thing you learned? That's the first thing I learned is I couldn't save myself. No matter what I did. No matter how hard I tried. No matter what law I took, I was only cursed. That's the first principle. It's evident. You know that. If you're a believer, you know that. So why in the world will we? We won't. We can't. We have no desire. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. And to us, who are taught of God, we trust in Christ. This is just evident. This is just plain, so clearly seen that all are quickened by the Spirit of God to life and faith. God told us that the law, by what law we should live. This is evident to us because we do have a law. We do have a law. This is the next section of that verse. Look at verse 11 again. We're not justified by the sight of the law. We ain't going to go back over there. Well, how do we live? What's our law? For the just shall live by faith. Was that it?
Yep.
I think men want more. They just got to have more. But for you who are believers, this is enough. It's enough. Christ is enough. Christ is enough. And so we live by faith. I like it. It says, as it is written. You know, he's talking about the law and the curse of the law. It's written. You know, when he says that, it's an exclamation point. This is the end of all argument. It's written. God doesn't unwrite anything. God doesn't use erasers. We do. We write something and about a week later we said, man, every time I go over old messages, I look at that and scratch that out. Oh, nobody heard that. God doesn't do that. When God writes something, it's written forever. Anybody want to be under the law? Anybody? You're under his curse. It's written. But there's another thing written. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. You who are justified. You who are justified by Jesus Christ. How do you live? By faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we live. The law cannot apply to our justification before God on any level. It never did. It never could be the means of our justification. Why? Because from birth we were sinners. We had already disobeyed in Adam. There was no hope for us to obey. We were born dead. You put a dead fish in a river, where is he going to go? Downstream. He cannot do anything else. when you put a baby in this world, what is he going to do? He's like a dead fish. He's going to flow to see it. He's going to see it. Because that's what he is. What we are by nature. We can't do anything else. And the law, friends, Paul says the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. And what the law demands of us, we can't provide. It demands that a carnal man be spiritual. You can't. It's impossible for you to be spiritual. Paul said, we are carnal, sold under sin. So you see that the law demands. Is there anything wrong with what the law demands? Well, of course not. The law is perfect. But we, being weak through the flesh, that's the problem. And so we see this, that we are not justified by it. And so now that the Spirit has quickened us and given us a new nature, what is the desire of this new spiritual nature? It is simply this. It is simply to believe on Christ. It is simply to trust Christ, to live by faith. I think you see it in Hebrews 10, verse 38. It says this. Now the just shall live by faith. I like repetition. The just shall live by faith. But here's the opposite of that. But if any man draw back. What does he mean by that? Well, he's drawing back from what? From faith. He's drawing back to the law. That was the temptation of the Hebrew believers to which that letter was written. If any man draw back to the law, if any man go back to the law, to live by the law. That's what he said. If any man go back to live by the law, God said this, my soul shall have no pleasure in you. But here's our hope. We are not of them that draw back. You believers, you want to go back under the law? Do you want to go back under the law? God forbid. We are not of them that draw back to perdition, but of them that what? Believe. We are of them that continually, perpetually believe. Believe to the saving of the soul. The apostle shows how this wonderful justification, now in our text, he shows how this wonderful justification was accomplished and what it means to live by faith. First thing I note is this. Spiritual life has nothing to do with the works of the law. Spiritual life has nothing to do with the works. Remember, we covered this last Sunday, in these five rhetorical questions Paul asked in the first section of this book. If you look at verse 2, he said, only this would I learn. He received you the Spirit by the works of the law, by hearing of faith. How did you receive the Spirit? Was it by your obedience? Or was it by the power of God through the preaching of the gospel that you believe? Look at verse 12 now. He's telling us this, that our spiritual life didn't come by the law. Why? The law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. It's a very plain and clear words here that the law and faith cannot mix. It cannot be mixed. If you are under the law, it is not of faith. That's what he's saying. How will you receive the Spirit? Well, I received it through faith, not the works of the law. And so then, these two are diametrically opposed to one another. The spiritual birth, the spiritual walk of every believer is only by faith. But if any man who takes to the law as his rule of life, it is not of faith. Isn't that just obvious? If you're trying to obey the law, look, you're producing something, aren't you? You're producing something that can be seen, that can be felt. And then what? You begin to trust in what you see and what you feel, which is not of faith. We're all prone to this. Now, listen, let the legalist rage all he wants to. The law is not of faith. Let him stomp his foot. I've had men stomp their foot. I've had men get real upset with this. They don't like to hear this. Let him boast about his faith all he wants to. Let him rail against us as antinomians. We're not. I don't care what they call us. We're not lawless. We have a law. It is this. The just shall live by faith. Legalist says, that's too simple. Man, you have a bunch of sinners running around out there. If you don't put the law on them. I got that in the bulletin. I thought that was great. Frank Tate wrote that article about taming the lions. He said, I've seen some lions up there, you know, they at the zoo. He said, how do you tame them? You tame them with a whip and a chair. And that's what religion does. They put a whip and a chair to you. They say, stop sinning. Keep you tamed. When God changes your nature, you don't need a whip and a chair. You know what tames us? Love. The love of Christ constraineth me. And how are you going to see the love of Christ except through faith? These two are intertwined together. You don't need to whip us. Man, I whip myself enough. I'm constantly loathing myself. I don't need you to do it. Love of Christ. Law is not of faith. I don't care what men say. If you want to walk by the law, you're under it. You're cursed. The just don't walk that way. The just live by faith. While you're sitting in there in that chair right now, if you're looking to Christ, you are obeying the law. You're obeying His law. Not for your justification. You're obeying it because of your justification. It doesn't say that you should be justified by walking by faith. That's not it. You walk by faith. The just, those who are already justified, how do we walk? By faith. This is the result. Faith is not the cause. Faith is the result of our justification. Walk by faith. Secondly, the law says do. Verse 12. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live continually, perpetually, constantly in them. You want to obey the law? Okay. You've got to do it all the time. You don't get to just have a break. There's no break. You see why the law is a burden? Was the law a burden to Christ? It wasn't a burden to Him. It was natural. He naturally did those things that He wrote. He wrote those things, and then when He came into this world, He just naturally did them. And you know what? It caused a lot of pain. It caused Him a lot of hurt of those around Him. But He could do nothing else but honor the law. You and I, on the other hand, can do nothing else but dishonor it. And so trying to take that law back on yourself, all you'll do is dishonor it. All you'll do is condemn yourself. That's it. Paul says in verse 18 of chapter 2, he says, if I build again the things I destroyed, and if I go back under the law to me is dead. Now, if I try to rebuild it, what am I going to find? I'm a transgressor. That's all I'm going to find. That's all you're going to find if you try to piece the law together. You'll find this, that you're a transgressor. That's all I can show you. Cursed. Because the law says do. He that doeth them. That's a present perfect tense. Has done, is doing, and shall do. You've got to live by them constantly. See, the religious are all about doing. How many billions of dollars are spent doing? And what actually is accomplished for the good of the souls of men? Nothing. They may give you a house, that's good for the body. May give you food, that's good for the body. They give you clothes, that's good for the body. But what does all they're doing really do for the soul? Nothing. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Nothing wrong with what they're doing. Nothing wrong doing good. The problem is it doesn't help anyone spiritually. They blindly imagine they should be accepted with God by their religious zeal, by their sincerity, by their best efforts and doing good to others. They vainly think the law, to take the law in pieces. Isn't this true of legalists? They take the law in pieces. They try to find the law that they're most capable in their own eyes of obeying. And they set that one up there. You know, that strikes me with what the Lord said to that man. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, what saith the law? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. He waxed eloquent, didn't he? Just with that one, he love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and body. Oh, yeah. And love your neighbor as yourself. Which one do you think he thought he was most capable of? Loving the Lord God. You know, because that can't really be proved. I mean, it just can't. You know, he could say it and he can get men to believe it. But then the Lord said, look, if you ain't doing that, if you ain't going to do that one if you ain't done the other one, which is love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, he did. Lord showed him he was one thing. I like that. One thing thou lackest. You know what it was? Righteousness. That's what he lacked. He lacked Christ. He said, this is the one thing you're missing. Me. I'm the only one that's ever did that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm the only one. So thirdly here, all who then take to do one thing in the law, to live, you are to live in them continually. Continually. You must completely be under the dominion of the whole law, and by doing so, you live under the just sentence of the law. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. Again, religion likes to piece it together. If you read any theological books, you'll read these the law. When you read the law, it'll say, okay, this is the dietary law. Okay, right there. Not going to eat pork. Bunch of other things you can't eat. That's in that. Then they say, this is a sacrificial law. So these are all the lambs and the birds and all the things you got to offer to God. That's what is under the law, sacrificial law. And then there's the law of the leper. And then there's the law, then there's the moral law, right? So they divide it up and they say, okay, well, we can't sacrifice anymore. So that's really, you know, according to reason, right? Man's reason. We can't do that, so obviously God doesn't want us to do that part of the law. Well, surely now I'm under grace, I can at least eat some pork. So that just, dietary law is not very important, right? I mean, we don't have any high priest, so we really can't pay. Tithing to people is really important, because they can understand 10%, and that's all they give, right there. They understand that. And then they say, well, the only thing left for us is like the Sabbath and tithing and moral law. See what they did? They divided the law. They said, well, we're not going to do these parts. We'll do these parts. Where do you find that? Where do you get to pick and choose which part of the law you want to obey? You don't. Listen to what James says. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You got that? You want to be under the law. You better have a blood sacrifice and you better have a high priest to offer it. Well, I'm obeying the Ten Commandments. So what? You've already failed. It just is astounding that anyone would desire to go back under that thing. If God has made you free by Christ, why? Paul said in verse chapter 5 and verse 1, let us stand fast therefore in the liberty. Stand fast. Why? Because you're going to be attacked by the legalist. You will. You eat the wrong thing, you drink the wrong thing, and what they're going to... Look, sinner. I'm obviously better than you because I didn't do that. Regardless of them, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ had made you. Who made you free? Who made you free? What does it matter what other people say? Who made you free? Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled. That's what it is. The law entangles you. It binds you. It constrains you. It curses you. Don't be entangled with that. See the great contrast then of those who live and stand fast in the perfect liberty of Christ. All our justifications by Him. And we have received this justification through faith and have been set free. I know that these progressive sanctification folks, they like to go to 2 Corinthians, and they use this a lot, I've noticed. They just go right to this text. They don't even read what goes before it, but they go right to this text. And they'll say this, well, we all, with an open face, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. See, there you go. You go, you get holier from glory. You're glorious, and you get glorier. That's not what the text is talking about at all. He said, look, the law has a glory. Okay? But the law is the instrument of death. What he's saying is we went from that glory of the law, which is death, to the same image of Christ. We went from glory. Now, the law is glorious. Anybody not say that? I mean, we all say the law is glorious. Nothing is wrong with that. Law is glorious. Matter of fact, Moses, it was so glorious when he received it, they couldn't even look on his face. But how much more glorious are we made in the image of Christ? See how much more glorious it is? It's not talking about progressive holiness. It's talking about I'm done with that glory, which is an instrument of death, and I've been made in the same image of Christ. And see now, because of this, because we have been made in the same image of Christ, because we've been set free, we are free indeed. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. What are we free from? Listen to me. You who are in Christ, you're free from the guilt of sin. Isn't that exactly what the law does? Only condemns you? Thou shalt not lie. Anybody feel good about that? Feel good about how you have not lied in the last 3 seconds? All it does is condemn me. That's all it can do. Christ has set me free from the guilt of sin. How is that possible? Look at this in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, if anybody deserves to be cursed, it's me. But I have been set free from the guilt of sin simply by this. He bore the curse. He bore my sin in His own body on the tree and suffered under the full measure of God's justice. I didn't skirt the law. I was saved through the law. By Him. He is my representative. Through the law, He saved me. He did what I could not do. And He suffered what I could not suffer. He endured. He redeemed me. He bought me. He freed me from my guilt. In those days, Jeremiah 50 and verse 20, in those days and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. I'm free from the guilt of sin. Free from the curse of the law. Secondly, I'm free from the dominion of sin. And what does this mean? When I first heard that, when I was first saved and really understood something about the Lord, I thought that it would get better. Well, I'm free from the dominion of sin. Shoot, this ain't going to happen. I'll be able to just overcome every sin now. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. It means this. Before, you were unable and bound so that you could not and would not come to Christ. Sin had dominion over you. You were not capable of believing. The just shall live by faith. You were not capable of living by faith. You were bound. But now, believer, is there anything you can do but believe in Christ? When you hear His name, does it not strike a chord of love and mercy and pardon and grace and power? You think of His blood and His righteousness. You know who I don't trust is me. I have no confidence in me. I have every confidence in Him. You know why? Because I'm free from the dominion of sin. I'm able now to serve Him, to love Him. And thirdly, one day, stand in this liberty, one day we shall be free from the presence of sin. This is something unimaginable. I have never been free from the presence of sin. I don't know what that's like, but it's got to be glorious. Our sister went home to be with Christ this last week, and she now knows what it's like to be free from the presence of sin. This is the promise of God that though while we walk in this world, we have this struggle with the flesh. We are constantly at war. One day, we will put off this mortal and put on immortality. We will put off this corruption and put on incorruption. That's the only way to get into heaven. You can't have it with corruption. You can't go with this body. It's got to be changed. And so then, believer, we are free. Jesus said this, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. You're free. You're free to go in. You go in to Christ. You're free. You realize there's no limitations for your access to God? No restrictions? You're free. You can come in anytime. Anytime. Would to God we'd come more. I'm sure we would have a lot less pain if we came more. But you're free. I keep thinking of that picture of John F. Kennedy at the desk, and then John F. Kennedy Jr., he's under the desk, the Roosevelt desk there, playing with his toys. You imagine anybody else could do that? Think anybody, you have one of the generals, you think he can crawl under that desk? Only a son. You're a son. You know, my son is away at college. He is welcome at my home anytime. Not a burden. Not a burden to me at all. How much more so with your father? You're free. Free to come in. Find protection. Find shelter. Find comfort. Find refreshment. Come in. And listen, you're also free to go out with him. Remember, the sheep, they come in, but they also go out to feed. We go out and we experience then all that we came in for. We go out and experience it freely. You had any grace this week? God give you grace. God give you mercy this week. Is that because you were obedient? Is that why he gave you that? No. No. He gave it to you because Christ made you free. He paid the price. Why would anyone desire to go back under the law of sin and death? It's astounding. Christ has redeemed us. He made a curse. Here's that word. It's written. Curses everyone that hang on the tree. And he did this that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What is the blessing of Abraham? What is this that we receive? Righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So it is with everyone who walks by faith, you who believe. You have the same blessings of Abraham. And was Abraham's blessing given after or before the law? Before. So what does the law have to do with it? What did the law have to do with Abraham's justification? What, matter of fact, what did it have to do with his sanctification? Huh? Nothing. Nothing. And so when God, he said, how do I know? Genesis 15, he said, how do I know? That's true, God. He said, well, you take those sacrifices, you cut them open, and remember, he showed him a picture of Christ. That's how it's so. Therefore, listen, the just shall live by faith. Period. But if you desire to live under the law, you've got to live under the curse. Full weight and measure of the law continually. Don't get to pick and choose. You take the law as a whole. But I warn you, all you're going to find is a curse. Don't find a blessing. Only through Christ is the blessings. And we receive them simply by faith. So how does a believer live? How you live? What's your rule? You want the law? Take it. I'm sorry. You ain't going to find nothing there. There's freedom in Christ. Now stand fast in Christ. Stand fast. Don't be tempted. And this book's written because we are tempted. And if you find somebody that's like that, don't point your nose down at them. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose is to remind them. Because these believers, they were in danger, and Paul had a heart for them. I have a heart for people like that. I'm sorry. I long for them just to simply rest. Stop trying to obey that law. It's just an errand you can't do. It's just impossible. Never admit it. It's evident it's not justified by that. Simply by Christ. Oh, I pray God help us with this. Just teach us. Just teach us. Let's stand and be dismissed. Oh, gracious Father, help us for a moment to bask in the glory of Christ, to stare in wonder at Him who was crucified, redeeming us from the curse. And because of His victory, let us see that we are free from its curse. We're free from the law of sin and death. And we live by faith under the grace of God through Christ. Help us to continually live this way, always looking to Christ as all our hope and evidence of our salvation is in Him. Forgive us when we fail. Oh, we fail. I'm so glad it's not my merit, but Christ that saves. Bless these. Teach us in our hearts and minds. And I ask you to do this in Christ's name. Amen.